Y'all understand what I mean by that? Their minds are corrupted and beguiled by Satan and other people that are maybe well-meaning but have a poor understanding. And they don't understand the simplicity that is in Christ. I think I want to talk to the kids a little bit tonight. How many of you are teachers in here? Shame on you. Most of y'all ought to have your hands up. Y'all all are teachers, whether you realize it or not. You should be. Well, let me say it like this. Somebody's learning from you daily. They're learning from what you do, what you say, how you conduct yourselves. They're learning all about you. They're learning about who you worship. They're learning about what you hold in high regard. They're learning about what you promote. Time's already slipping. I want us to go back to grade school tonight. And I want us to think about some very simple things. What constitutes a sentence? Subject and predicate. The subject of the sentence and an action word. Who knows the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. That's it. Jesus is the subject. Wept is the predicate. Now that's pretty simple, isn't it? Who did the weeping? It's okay to speak out. Jesus did. What did Jesus do? He wept. Amen. I want us to think about this little sentence, simple subject, simple predicate. The boy hit the ball. That's a pretty simple sentence, isn't it? What's the subject of that sentence? The boy. What did the boy do? He hit. What did he hit? The ball. I want us to turn that around and use the same words. I mean, you've got that vision in your picture, don't you? You've got that vision of a boy standing at the plate and the ball's coming and he hits the ball. Y'all got that vision. Now I'm going to turn that around and use the same exact words and say the ball hit the boy. Same words. Different order, totally different outcome. What's the subject in the ball hit the boy? The ball is. What did the ball do? It hit. What did the ball hit? The boy. Looks totally different, doesn't it? A ball hitting a boy. I've seen balls hit boys. And they cry sometimes. And sometimes they get big shiners on their face. Drew played baseball and he got hit by a lot of balls. Henna got hit by basketballs. The girl got hit by the ball, you know. Now, when we read the scriptures, there are some things that we need to break down simply because, you know what? The Bible is simple. There is simplicity in Christ. It's not complicated. A lot of people will give you a lot of complicated things, and don't get me wrong, there's a lot of hard things to understand in the Scriptures, but the words are not hard to understand. When you read the Bible daily, I want you to break what you read down into the subject and the predicate. And I want you to really understand who's doing the talking, who it's addressed to, and what the subject is, and what the action words are. Now, sentences can get very long if you don't understand that. Read Paul. Read after Paul. Some of his sentences are, you know, the whole chapter's long. But when you break it down, still sentences can be broken down into a simple subject. Sometimes you have compound subjects. Sometimes you have compound predicates. But I want us to talk about some scriptures tonight and break them down. I want to turn to Matthew chapter 1. Y'all already know where I'm going, don't you? We'll start in 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or secretly. But while he thought on these things, and I imagine he did a lot of thinking, don't you? While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. Did you notice he didn't say, don't fear to take Mary for your wife? She was already his wife, was she not? They just hadn't come together yet. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now we could break all those things down. But for brevity's time, I want to focus on verse 21. And she, who's she talking about? Mary. And y'all are good. And she shall bring forth a son. Now, let's think about this because I want to talk to the kids. It didn't say she shall bring forth a daughter. So this is a male child. We know that about this. This is the information. And while we're going through this tonight, I want you to strip everything that you know about God and about His salvation away. I know that's kind of hard, but I want you to try to do that. I want you to think that you are a Jewish child and you don't know much about God. Well, let's say you're a Gentile and you don't know anything about God, because I don't know of any national Jews in here. Possibly there are some. Hallelujah if you are. Now, if Joseph, we don't know much about this, but it says, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, all caps. That means because it's important. Shall call his name Jesus. Why are they going to call him Jesus? For he shall save his people from their sins. Who's going to do the saving? Jesus is. Who's he going to save? What's he going to save them from? Amen. Y'all are good at this. The boy hit the ball. Y'all are already breaking down sentences. Y'all are already. Now, if you didn't know anything about any other part of Scripture, you would know some things about this. First of all, you would know that this Jesus, you know why they called him Jesus? Because that name means Savior. It means more than that, but it means Savior. The one who saves. Now, do a study about the name Jesus. It'll blow you away. Now, Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. You don't know much about this group of people, but you know that group. You don't know who they are. You don't know anything about this group except for this man Jesus is going to save that group. And what's He going to save them from? Their sins. You know that. If you, let's say you never read the Bible and you read this verse and you thought, hey, this son has a people. He don't know who they are. He don't know how they got to be His people, but they know that they're His people. He could be talking about His brothers and sisters in His family. Could be talking about His nationality. You don't know that yet, do you? But the Lord starts to describe this and open this up. You know, because God doesn't give all truth in one verse, does He? He opens and unfolds the truth of His Word. The more you read, the more you understand about who His people are. And you understand more about how He saved them. It didn't tell you how He was going to save them. It just told us that He was going to save His people from their sins. That's interesting to me, isn't it? I want to learn more about who His people are. I want to learn more about how He saved them. I want to learn more about what those sins are that separated me from God. You don't even know that they separated you from God yet. Now, I want us to turn over to Matthew 20. I've got to hurry up, so I don't want to take up too much of Brother David's time. Verse 20 and 20, chapter 20, verse 20. Then came to Him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping Him and desiring a certain thing of Him. And He said unto her, what wilt thou? You know, what are you here for? What do you desire? She saith unto Him, grant that these my two sons may sit the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. She really didn't, did she? She didn't know that she didn't know what she was asking. But Jesus knew that she didn't know what she was asking. She didn't have all the information yet. Jesus is going to tell them later on that I'm going to separate as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats, and I'm going to set the sheep on my right hand and the goats on my left. She doesn't know that yet. But Jesus is telling us a little bit more about this group of His people. Now, He says, they say unto Him, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? Are you able to do that? And they say unto Him, we are able. And they were right. We are able to do that. And he said unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. I want you to listen to this. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. Wait a minute, Jesus. I thought you come to offer salvation and to make sheep. Listen to what Jesus says as he finishes it out. It's not mine to give. To position the people either on the right or the left, to grant that they would sit on either side, it's not mine to give, Jesus said. But it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. What did Jesus just tell us about that group of His people? What did He just say? He just so solidly and ironclad clarity declared that God prepared a people for Him to save that would be on His right hand, that we'd find out later on. The doctrine of election and security is found in Jesus' own words in this one verse. Did y'all catch it? I didn't, and so many people think that Jesus came to make sheep and to offer it so that goats could be turned into sheep. And Jesus in His own words said, I'm not here to make sheep or to make goat sheep or any other thing. I'm here to save the sheep that God gave me. That's what He's here for. That's pretty simple, isn't it? I want us to move on over. We still don't know a great deal about this group, do we? But Jesus, like I'm saying, you know, every time you turn a page, Jesus reveals a little bit more about His work and about His ministry and about this group. Every time you turn a page, it gives you a little bit more information about His people and His salvation, doesn't it? Let's turn over to Matthew. We'll skip Matthew 25, 32, and 33. We already talked about it. John 10. Let's go to John 10. We'll learn a little bit more about this group. All right. He starts it out in verse 7. Not starts it out, but what I want to talk about. He's talking about the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are the thieves and robbers. And then in verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd. And know my sheep. Who does he know? His sheep. He knows His sheep. He knows you. Aren't you happy that God knows you? He's not an impersonal God. He's not an impersonal Savior. I mean, He did collectively save all of His sheep, but I want you to realize that He died on the cross for you. Amen. Personally, you. If you're His sheep, if you're one of His sheep, He died for you. It was a blanket, but He had you in mind.
Right.
You are engraven in the palms of His hands, aren't you? I hope your mind is whirling about the goodness and grace and mercy of God. He says, I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine.
Right.
You know, because he does put his law into their hearts, and they shall be unto him a people, and he shall be their God. You're not going to have to tell people to know the Lord. All are going to know him from the least to the greatest. Thank you, Brother Danny. Now, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. How's he going to save them? He's going to lay his life down for them.
Amen.
That we learn, you know, the Bible is simple when you kind of just sit back and think about it. He reveals more and more, a little bit at a time. Sometimes, you know, golden nuggets aren't on the top of the road out here like the gravel is, are they? If they were, everybody would be rich. But where's gold? It's way down deep in the earth, and you've got to dig deep to find it. You've got to meditate about some of these things. You've got to read your Bible. These truths and these gold nuggets aren't just sitting on the top for shallow thinking to get. I'm not saying I'm a deep thinker. Y'all understand that. But it does take effort. It takes a little bit of effort to figure out a little bit more about how he saved his people. I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. He's talking about you.
Right.
You're not of the fold of Israel,
right.
National Israel.
Right.
Them also I must bring. Who's going to bring them? He is.
Right.
We're not going to bring ourselves.
Right.
I must bring, and they shall hear my voice.
Right.
And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. What's he talking about there? He tells you, I'm rising from the dead. I'm going to take it again. Wow. That's something new. Hadn't heard about that before. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. That's why when he said it is finished, a lot of people when they die, most people when they die, my mama, bless her heart, she was on her deathbed last March, and she couldn't even talk. She wasn't with it, but the last words that she said were just barely above a whisper. Weak. A weak voice. Just her lips were moving. But when Jesus was on the cross, he didn't die. His life was still in full vigor. Even though he had been scourged and spit upon and mocked and crucified on that cross, it says that he cried with a loud voice, "It is finished." My friends, I want you to understand that he laid down his life. He wasn't in a weak state at his death.
Amen.
He wasn't half dead like that one brother was on the side of the road. No, he was in full vigor when he laid down his life. You learn a little bit more about this, how he saved his people from their sins. Isn't that great? I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Then it says there was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. You know, Jesus is... These people have been divided about Jesus ever since Jesus walked on the face of the earth, didn't they? People have been divided about him ever since. Until that final dividing when all of his sheep on the right and goats on the left. Now, well, there's so many things. We could go to so many places. I want us to learn a little bit more about this. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I promise I'm not going to preach the whole chapter. I could. Or I could try. Let me put it like that. Paul says in verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now, that's a mouthful. You want to start breaking that down? Let's break it down. Paul says, "Blessed be God the Father." That's the subject, blessed. Not like he's blessing God. But this blessing that Paul is blessing God with is according to something. And in verse 4, it says, this blessing that we ought to be blessing God with is according to something, and it's according as He hath chosen us. Now that's pretty simple, isn't it? The boy hit the ball. The boy was subject. He hit it. What did he hit? He hit the ball. He, who's he in this? Who's he in this verse? God. God the Father. What did God do? He chose us. Hath chosen. Is that like right now? Is choosing or hath chosen? What is that? Is that present or past? It's past, isn't it? So this choosing that God did, He already did it. Hath chosen us in Him. Who's Him? Christ. In Him. When did He do that? Before the foundation of the world. Do you know that was in the mind and purpose of God ever before? He said, "Let there be light." You were in Him. Isn't that amazing? You were in Christ before the foundation of the world. You talk about being blessed with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That we should be holy. That should be doesn't mean all we ought to be. Well, that's true. We ought to be. But this is talking about that they're going to be.
Right.
This is not a maybe that they might be or might not be. This is that they are going to be. That they should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Did you hear that? He chose us in Him for the purpose that we would be without blame. How many times did somebody blame you? We talked about it this morning. How many times somebody blamed you wrongly? Maybe sometimes. Maybe a few times you've been blamed wrongly, but most of the time you've been blamed rightly. I'd be willing to bet. But let me just talk about myself and not y'all. And this is another thing that we ought to bless God for. He says, having predestinated. Those two, what does that mean? Having predestinated. Does that mean something that's going to happen later on? Or does that mean something that's already been done? It's in the past tense. Having predestinated us. Words mean something, folks. Guys, children, old children, young children, middle-aged children. This word matters. God's word matters. How you read God's word matters. Having predestinated. Y'all went to grade school. Y'all understand about language, don't you? You know, I don't understand Swahili. I mean, I understand a little bit of Swahili, but I'm like less than kindergarten in Swahili. Y'all know that. I remember Will and I used to talk about some stuff, some words a long time ago after I first went. I don't understand all about their language. But I can understand this. I understand when something is been done for me, or it's something that God has called me to do and calling me to exercise in my life. I understand when something has happened in the past, and when these words dictate that it's something that's going to happen in the future. I understand that. When y'all read the Bible, I want you to figure out the boy hit the ball. I want you to figure out who the boy is, what he hit, and I want you to praise God for his unspeakable gift. You know, the Bible is full of these things, and you hath he quickened. Who did the quickening? He did. Who was quickened? When were you quickened? Who were dead in trespasses and in sins? That's when the quickening happened. When you were dead in trespasses and sins. You can take every verse. And I want, and when y'all read it, I really hope that y'all remember the boy hit the ball. I really hope you remember that. So when you read the scriptures, you can think, okay, let's back up here. Who's doing the hitting? What's he hitting? I want you to find out more about that group that, of his people and how he saved them. You know, over there in Romans chapter 8, it says, "For we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For we know," that means because, "we know." "For whom He did foreknow, them He also did predestinate." All those things are talking about people, aren't they? That's pretty simple, isn't it? It's not, it didn't say for what he did foreknow. It said for whom he did foreknow. That's talking about people. And that same group of people, we learn a little bit more about that group. And it takes us from before the foundation of the world on into glory. And it's all done in the past tense. It, from God's perspective. Isn't that amazing?
Right.
When y'all read this word, keep that in your mind. The boy hit the ball. May God bless you. It's been a blessing to be in service with you today. Come on, Brother David.